please, and move over a minute. If there's anything that should be changed, deleted, or etc. The time is short, and it's time 2.5 minutes instead of 2. Comments on the bed, additions, reactions, follow-ups from last time. Another minute or two, I see something to read. Go read it, you say. Did you say go learn it?
6 months of school. Didn't get 9 months when I was in school.
Was that the country town where that one school?
You knew where it was. You didn't back down.
Stanford University.
Right hand there. You went on a special program in the college anyway, didn't you, George?
Logan Heights Tech.
May I take time to welcome those who have not attended before first? I see some I don't think I've been here before, one or two. Observers over here in the back. I see one or two have returned from not being able to be here before. Glad to have you back. Looking at the minutes, there were two or three things that I'd like to hit on again in order to pick up the kind of emergency that was created at the last meeting. I have the agendas in front of me. I'm sorry. George reads the,
Can I interject and make a comment here before you get started with this?
Yes.
First thing, as most of you know, I haven't been here for a while, but I see that we're still having trouble, or it seems to be that we're still having trouble getting those officials here who the original thing was built around. I don't see, of course the mayor isn't here, but I don't see either councilman or the city attorney. Is he here?
I'm the deputy city attorney.
Okay, very good. Very good. But my whole reason for mentioning this is that this dialogue has become sort of business as usual, and it doesn't seem to be generating anything. Can I stand, because I may get a little windy in this, and I don't want to intimidate anybody, but I would prefer to stand.
You may stand, thank Joe, you. And on your return, you're ready, I see.
Thank you. First of all, the whole concept of this dialogue was that we were going to think, or our actions were going to be in terms of long-range things. We were going to think of long-range problems. We weren't going to involve ourselves with things of today per se, but the overall approach was on long-range things. So this to me meant that we were going to involve ourselves in new concepts, new ways of doing things, that we weren't going to rehash old ideas, that we weren't going to do things that had been done before, but we were going to bring up new approaches to these problems. Now, I don't know, most of you speaking of city officials might think that the fact that you come down here every other week and meet with black people and Mexicans and other minorities, that you are doing something new. No, this is not new. They were doing it in New York 5 years ago. They were doing it in Detroit 10 years ago. They were doing it in Newark last year. And this is not anything new, just your presence here. The only thing that can be new is if you come up with some new ideas, a new way to solve old problems. The problems are there, and they're still there. So what does this mean? It means that unless we are taking a long-range approach here, we are doing nothing. You see, you gave us the idea that, well, the basic thing here is to educate us to what the problem is. Educate us to what the problem is. You see, but if we educate you and there's no long-range approach to it, well, then when you, the city officials, are out of office, then we have to educate a new set when they come in. And we'll be educating the rest of my life and the rest of my son's life and his son's life. Every time a new breed or a new generation comes in, then we'll have to re-educate again. So that is not the approach that we have to take. If that is the approach of this dialogue, then this dialogue is worthless. It's useless and should be rendered invalid and cut it out. It's a waste of your time and my time, to say the least. Now, when we came here, we tried to start this thing off on the right foot. We said that, first of all, we were going to understand the problem. We were going to understand what is the problem. We were going to define the problem. We were going to lay it out before us, and that is what we were going to attack. We were going to attack the problem. We weren't going to get involved in attacking the results of the problem, which all of us seem to want to do, attack the results and not the problem. That is to say, we're going to go out and cut the weeds down, but we're going to leave the roots in the ground to grow more weeds after we have gone back to the house. And that is just the approach that this dialogue is taking. That's why it is stalemating, it has become sterile, and nothing new is coming out of it at this point. And if we're going to go on this way, we may as well just wrap it up, forget about it, and go home and say that we did the best we could under those circumstances. Now, this is to say that if you don't want to accept the problem, you see, because we spent about 3 weeks, I think the first 3 weeks of this big dialogue, going over the problem, talking about what the problem is. And the black people who came here and the emerging minority said, the problem is racism. And of course, the first week we got a hell of a lot of static. The next week, after we had went through a process of explaining, we got less static, but still there were some who was quite vehement about the fact that racism is not the problem. It's just that we love you underneath, but on the outside, hostilities come out. But we love you, and all you have to do is shape up a little bit and everything will go along fine. But you know that's not correct, because I know it's not correct. Things just don't work that way. And after a while, we got settled on the idea of racism. Matter of fact, the mayor came out and said, yes, I do recognize. After much discussion, the mayor said, yes, I do recognize that the problem is racism. And I think the city attorney came forward the following week and said, yes, I do recognize the problem is racism. But see, I don't know whether or not he was just paying lip service to us to get us off his back or not, or was he really sincere about this? Because if he recognized the problem as racism, then he should be attacking racism and not the results, which is maybe unemployment or poor schools or something else. If the problem is racism, then that's what you attack. You don't attack poor schools, you eliminate the racism, and that settles everything else. You tear up the roots, and the plant dies. Without roots, without nourishment, the plant cannot live. So this is to say that if they recognize this, then why aren't we doing something to move in a long-range program towards racism? Why aren't we attacking racism here? Why aren't we developing a program to attack racism? Why aren't we talking about racism rather than functional things, everyday things, the results of racism? We have to get back on the right path if we're going to do anything. Otherwise, we're wasting your time and my time. So what this means is if you, the city officials, aren't willing to accept the problem, then this brings me to realize what these dialogues are. And that is, at this point, I can say that these dialogues have truly taught me, first of all, that you are not ready to face the problem. You are not ready to face the problem. You are not ready to face the problem. Why? Because to face the fact that racism is the underlying problem, you must accept part of the guilt yourself, and you are ready to accept that guilt. So, what does this mean? It means that anything that may be done will have to be done by black people, because we can't depend on you to help us. If that is the problem, then anything that must be done, we must do it. And with all due respect to Carol and his diagram, it's a beautiful diagram. But what it has done has allowed a cover for the people to escape under. In other words, they have dismissed their racism as a differential perception. Differential perception now means a cover up for racism. If it doesn't go along with what is moral and ethical, then they dismiss it as being differential perception. You know, my basic background is different from yours. That's true, but that is not the problem. The problem is racism. So, if we can't get on to racism and solve and talk about and react and respond to racism, then again, I'm going to say that we're wasting your time and my time. And my time is not that, my time is not that free that I can waste it at random. So, I'll say again that if we black people cannot depend on you to help solve the problem, then it has come to a point where we must do it by ourselves. Therefore, anything that we do in the pursuit of solving this program is legitimate. Understand that. Anything that we do in the pursuit of solving that problem is legitimate because we cannot depend on you to help us. So, this is to say that if we can't settle on the problem and react in a long-range plan towards the problem, then this is not the place for me. And I don't see it changing. So I'm saying today that I'm not leaving right now, but I'm not returning after today. This is it. The Black Conference is not returning to sit up and engage in polite conversation at best. It is not what we are concerned with. We're concerned about the problem. And I want to leave you with these words. In terms of analyzing this problem, make your choice, because only you can make your choice. But make your choice well, because today you all are standing at the eve of destruction. That is today. Thank you. Your tolerance. I relinquish, girl.
Yes. I was extended, Joe. We were at the point of beginning to look at the minutes and talk about the reactions that were here last week. It's reported in the minutes in terms of similar feelings. And right now, I think, after Joe's speech, I was about to do the same thing. Maybe I should. Since Joe, and I'm sure we'll tie in with some of the other things that will come out. Can I see your hand, Frank, at this time before we get to the...
Yeah, I'd like to say something. As a Mexican-American here for the first time, I'm too concerned about the lack of participation by our city government to attend these meetings. And as a Mexican-American, I've seen where we have completely been omitted at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end with any program that has come down to the minority group. I think that many of you, or the city fathers, or the system, has connected the Mexican-American as a docile cheap labor. And he's the guy who comes in when you're at the Hanale, and he's the guy who picks up your plate. He's the guy who rolls those dishes back in the kitchen. That's your exposure to the Mexican-American. I think at this point, Carol, I'd like to say that there's a new generation of Mexican-Americans who are not willing to come down here and break bread with the city fathers. It's a new generation who's grown up. We've grown up in Logan Heights. We know what it is to be discriminated against in school because of the testing, because of the cultural problem we have. We've come back to these barrios. We've come back to these communities. And I want the city fathers to know that we are going to do something more than just sit and break bread with the city fathers.
I relinquish also.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. How many people here today were here at the beginning when we first went over this thing about racism? I think about the first 3 or 4 weeks of the dialogue. Will those people who were here raise their hand, please? Did you understand? After the end of this, did you understand the problem any better? Did you understand the problem, or did you merely go along with it because that was the concept of the masses, of the masses here?
Well, if you're directing your question to me, Joe, I think that these meetings have to build up, and I'm an older man, and I sympathize with you young people and your rebellion. and this is fine. But I think a great deal of good is coming out of this type of discussion to know something. Now, one thing which impressed me, for example, the minutes again this morning, you people keep talking about the ghetto. My daughter taught school in Logan Heights and Stockton for 3.5 years. I've been down there many times, and believe me, in my opinion, in my perception, this is not a ghetto down there, and especially when you talk about the area east of Euclid. I think there's a great deal of good can come out of these things, but Rome wasn't built in a day, and the type of talk that you made this morning is good for all of us.
But did you understand what the problem was? Did you understand that the underlying causes in everything that we talk about here is racism? Did you understand that?
Yes, I think that underlying all of this is that fact. And it has to be recognized. How it's to be handled is something that's not clear to me yet.
Did you understand that? But if everybody seems to understand that, then wouldn't it seem that it would be more beneficial? You see, along with this dialogue goes an educational process. See, the city officials at once told us that they felt that the idea or the major thing in the dialogue was to educate them to the problem. Well, I say that if we understand the problem and if we are here to attack the problem, then an education automatically goes along with that. That is to say that the functional things that come up by day, you should be able to handle those out of your education. That is to say that Carol Wayman should not be attacked for doing a good job for black people by the city administration. They should not do this, because that is what he's here for. If he's head of citizens interracial committee, then he's supposed to be working for minority people. He is not supposed to be puppeting for the city, and he should not be attacked for that. So if this is to say that the education that you are supposed to be receiving here should allow you to understand his function, should allow you to go out, and when you see discrepancies in the hiring practice, when you see discrepancies in the school system, you should change those without us having to prompt you. We have to come in and prompt you to everything that is going on, and you know it. It's just like today. There's another problem. There's always a functional problem. Yet, we can't deal with the long-range problem because we have to keep prompting you on the day-to-day problems. Now, if we deal with the long-range problem, then we should be talking about how do we eliminate racism, not passing some regulation to curb the results of racism. Because if you pass a law to curb the results of racism, then it's just to understand that the racist person who is the cause of this did not enforce the law in the first place. So if you aren't attacking racism, then you aren't doing anything for the long-range problem.
Let me pick up that, Joe, and see if we can get it on then. Let me go back and then try to put what you're saying in proper perspective for some of the others. The last 2 weeks we had Bob Richards and his group to visit us, and as the minutes indicate, expressed concern that we were not zeroing in on some of the specific things also. And as Admiral mentioned there on page 3, Bob mentioned that he stated he felt he could not go back to the ghetto and say that something significant was happening, and that it was shocking to him when all the talent in this room has been meeting for such a long time that more had not been done. I think that's part of the feeling, at least, that I hear now. But let's see if we can get it structured here and get things on top of the table so we can see where we're going today. I have a letter here in my hand from, the vice chairman does, from John Johnson of the Urban League, who could not be here this morning, but it's significant to the to what George is going to read as far as the agenda is concerned. Would you read that first? I think would be better.
This is to inform the city community dialogue that due to a very important prior commitment to speak in Pacific Beach, I will not be able to attend the January 26th dialogue. I am asking Judge Byron Lindsay to substitute for me. I realize this dialogue will be one of the most important ones in terms of content and regret deeply my inability to be there. There are two items I would like to see added to the agenda. The whole issue of the minority group's insensitivity to the minority community as manifested in the youth coordinator's appointment. The issue of another 80 bus drivers being sent back to Detroit, which does not include Negroes and other minority group persons. For consideration, this letter, et cetera. John Johnson.
Judge, did you want to come in at this time?
Yes, at whatever time is appropriate.
Would you now, please?
Sort of prefacing what I want to say with respect to what's in the letter, I'd like to go back to something that was said a while ago, which seems to me to point out the very heart of our failure to comprehend what this is all about. The gentleman said that we talk about the ghetto, but I've been down there and I've seen it, and it isn't right to talk about it as a ghetto. We don't comprehend what the term ghetto means. The white man presumes that that ghetto means it's a filthy, rat-infested place. Well, ghettos become that, but they don't become that except because of the basic problem that creates it. A ghetto is a place of isolation. You can have luxurious homes, tall, beautiful apartments, you can have all these things, and you can still have a ghetto. A ghetto is a situation that exists because a certain people are required, against their wish and against their desire, to live within a certain segment of the community. They're required to live there because the majority and the attitude of the majority do not allow them the option, even though they may be affluent in numbers, to move out and live among them. That's what a ghetto is. Southeast San Diego, Logan Heights, is not the ghetto of Chicago in the sense that it's not as run down, not as old, not as filthy, not as antagonistic to health, but it's a ghetto nevertheless, because the people who live in Southeast San Diego live there not because they enjoy living among themselves, although if they had the option to live anywhere, they might enjoy living among themselves. It's a ghetto because they don't have a right to go anyplace else. They have the right, but they don't have the option to express that right. And this is the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is the attitude of a majority white. There's no question about it. And it's ridiculous and useless and debilitating to talk only about this thing happening and that thing happening and something else happening. All of these things are merely symptoms of the cause. And unless we get to the cause, we're not going to solve or achieve anything. I have only attended a couple of these dialogues, but I've been sitting on the sidelines, sort of looking for results from the dialogues. And I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them at all. It seems to me that these dialogues up to this point have served only as a sort of a psychoanalytic catharsis to assuage our white guilt and learn how to live with our defective white personality, our majority personality. That's precisely what you're doing if all you do is talk about it and then talk about this little problem and let's do something about this little problem or that little problem or let's do something about that little problem. It's no use talking about what's happening. It's no use talking about police brutality. It's no use talking about segregation in the school. It's no use talking about the fact that the city government does not properly reflect the composition of the community. It's no use talking about the fact that city leaders can assume to make major decisions affecting the minority segment of the community without even thinking, without having the good grace to talk to them about it. This is what this letter is all about. We don't, here I am talking about we. I'm not a black man. I don't have a black tongue. I don't have a black mind, and I don't have a black heart. Now, there is something right there. When I say black heart, what do you think about? You think about something evil, don't you? This is part of the attitude of the white majority community. Black means something evil. Black means something bad. And so when I say a black heart, you're not thinking about the heart in the black man. You're thinking about something evil, because you equate that with evil. You equate something less than white with something less than good. Something less than white with something less than competent. Something less than white with something less than having full human sensitivity, if you please. And so we're capable of making decisions which we wouldn't think of making were the white element, the white segment of the community was involved, without turning to them, without conferring with them, without discussing with them. We wouldn't think of doing that. But where the dark man, whether he's black or less than white, and of course what happens is, you know, if you're white, you're basically okay. If you're a little less than white, like the Mexican American, you're not really quite so bad, but you just haven't quite gotten up to the point where you're quite equal yet either. So you could do the kind of things that were suggested. Your employment areas are in this area, and then as you get farther down, it gets worse. The mixed Negro who has a little whiter skin, we could accept a little more into our frame of reference. The darker he gets, the more inferior he seems to be in our minds. It's no use talking about what's happening unless we start talking about why it's happening. And I'm in the process I'm always in the process of writing something. Right now I'm in the process of writing something, and I've given it this title: How to Be Prejudiced Without Guilt. How to Be Prejudiced Without Guilt. All you do is say, yes, but has been the tool of all those who have opposed getting down to the meat of what is affecting society. Yes, we agree that it's not right that children should be segregated in schools. Yes, we agree that it's not right that the colored man can't get employment commensurate with his capacities. Yes, we agree that it's basically not right for the non-white to have to live in geographical isolation. But you can't do everything in a day. You can't do everything all at once. It takes time, and so you work on a little here and you work on a little there, and you never get down to the point of talking about why. What the gentleman said, and I missed the first part of his remarks, I would subscribe to perhaps 99%. The 1% I wouldn't subscribe to is someday you might reach enough of the white community that something will be accomplished. So don't give up. Don't walk away from it. Keep pecking at it. Keep pecking at it. Keep pecking at it. Here and wherever else you have to. What happened with respect to that caused this letter from Mr. Johnson is that the mayor of this city undertook to appoint one of the most competent persons in the community to serve in a function that perhaps he can do as well, if not better, than anybody else in the community could do. And that's fine. We would agree with that appointment of that person. But he didn't have the good grace or the sensitivity to come and talk to, or to open this up to the community as a whole. He didn't have the good grace even to turn to the agency which now has him on their employment list, the Urban League, and find out, you know, what effect it would have upon their program, what effect it would have upon the program that he is so important to. Well, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because he's insensitive. He has an understanding of what it's all about. He doesn't know what it's all about. And neither do most of the city fathers know what it's all about. And if they do know what it's all about, they're covering their sins pretty gracefully. Something that ought to be done about it. And I agree. Let's quit talking about these little things that we might go out and do, which do nothing but assuage our own guilt. And let's get down to the heart of the problem, and that is, why are we insensitive? Why are there ghettos? Why is there segregation? Why is it possible for a policeman to go down the street and stop a colored girl in a miniskirt because she looks indecent, but the beautiful little blonde white girl can walk down there and he'll look at her with the eye that a full-blooded man would tend to look at. I saw this happen on the street the other day. I knew exactly what was happening. Here was a colored girl in a miniskirt that was a mini-miniskirt. And it was more than one would normally anticipate walking upon the public streets. But it did cover up everything that seems to offend the morally inclined. I suspect she had actually had to have had some, this may be too crude, I won't say it. That stood out in his mind as something wrong because he didn't equate this girl with this high degree of lovely femininity that he would with the blonde white girl who would be doing the same thing. And he had her standing beside his police car. I stood and watched as long as I could, and I don't know to this day whether he took her off to the police station. Somebody might check to find out. There's only one reason for it. He was a man who had an attitude about people. And he was capable of seeing evil in this girl, something immoral in this girl walking down the street in a miniskirt where he wouldn't have done it otherwise. Now that seems like a ridiculous example, but it's not. It's the heart of it. And I don't say this because I'm being critical of the police department as alone. They're composed of the same individuals who have the same basic attitudes that affect all the rest of society. If society wasn't so infected, neither would the police department be so infected. Neither would the mayor be so insensitive.
Yes. It's kind of hard to speak behind the judge because he states it so beautifully. The problem the other night, I had the opportunity to listen to one minority. The other night, I had the opportunity to listen to one minority, a member of one minority race, looking at a member of another minority race who was supposed to be a leader and attended the dialogues, and he said to him, he says, "I believe they call you by your first name downtown. You have your coffee with them. You have your drinks with them." He says, "Why do we have to have this large group meeting here tonight?" He said, "Because, hell, we appointed you a long time ago to go downtown and solve our problems. And the only thing that could be thought of by the other individual who was directed at, which was definitely true, we are called by our first name. We get hung up over your drink, and we get carried away with your coffee and your politeness. And in the meantime of doing it, we really don't get the job done. I will not get hung up on coffee. I will not get hung up on somebody's drinks or someone's fine words, even though you may call me a racist myself, or you may call me unfriendly. It's just that I don't want to go back to a black community or a Mexican community and say that I'm in cahoots with them cats downtown who's been causing this problem for many, many years." And the dialogues are becoming to the same thing now. And as chairman of the agenda committee, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we dismiss with these three items that's on the agenda, because these items are completely irrelevant, as the judge has said here, about the sensitivity, the groups, the bus drivers, the rejections, the method of a coordinator or what have you. This is really beside the point, because we're going to spend our time on the present, as Joe says, the items taking place today, and we'll never get on to the problem of looking at a long-range program. Long-range planning has been suggested here. A general plan has been suggested here. But we can never get down to working up a general plan, because we have too many stumbling blocks to data. We trip over all the time, and we can't sit down and work over them. There's too many problems right now. And I think, I tell you the truth, I believe that this group as a whole is telling a lie when they say that they've accepted the fact of racism, because if they accepted the fact of racism, that it was wrong, then they wouldn't continue to be racist. We discussed this problem already with bus drivers going back there. Now, a second group of bus drivers went back and did the same thing. So don't tell me that you accept this problem and you understand this problem and you know what to do about it, because we've discussed this exact same issue, the bus drivers. And now another group of bus drivers go back and do the same thing. We can resolve this problem with the mayor taking up on his water to... You will not yield to the masses of the people, no matter why, because the masses don't control the dollar that gets you elected or gets you appointed or gets a contract thrown your way. You cannot do what is being asked of black people. You cannot be a model city because you're afraid to be a model city. And you will not react until your constituents react to you, and they won't react until there's a fire in southeast San Diego, and they won't react because of that fire there, because there's fear that it will spread all through San Diego. Then you will react. You can't do what you want to do right now because you're scared.
We have heard the problem laid out very well by the judge.
Tell us the motion to thought about this tonight and share. This is
all today.
What's the
Carol, as long as you're waiting, because whoever has the roster.
Yes, if you keep the roster moving there while we're waiting for this sub-chairman of the agenda committee, made a motion. We can talk to that motion on the basis of...
Second
motion has been moved and seconded. That we abandon... would you just state it again so we get it on the tape as you say it, please? Just state it again.
I move, Mr. Chairman, that the items that have... as chairman of the agenda committee, I move that the items which have been brought before this body as part of the agenda items and distributed, that these items be completely ignored at this particular time and we go on with the business that we have to... is at hand, which is...
in the light of what was said by the other speakers?
That's correct, right.
You've heard the motion has been seconded. Any comments to the motion? Did you have something on the motion?
No, let's call for the question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Again, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? May I stop for a second? We heard first from Joe, who had been away and returned and explained part of his feeling about returning and what he had been seeing from the dialogues in terms of action or progress. We heard from the judge, who stated emphatically, perhaps as many here feel, that the problem is not the housing, the employment, the education. He referred to the letter that was written by his own executive director. Then we heard from George. Then we took a motion. Only a few people have spoken so far. The concept now is that we should look at the long-range plans and talk about racism and an overall general plan about racism. And I've heard only from a few people. And if we're going to talk about racism or work out some long-range plan, we're going to have to hear from others. I should hope that we get on to hearing from others, the public officials, and their reactions to where we go from here in terms of what we're going to do now. Aside from just saying that we're not going to talk about the housing and employment, if we're going to get on with the overall plan, tear this thing up into the whys, and look at some calendar points that was mentioned last time, then we need to hear from others. After two or three comments, I should like to exercise the prerogative to call on others if we're going to do that. First, Glenn, and then Joe.
Well, Carol is one who has been at the dialogue from the beginning, and I think has endeavored with every meeting to emphasize what seems to me is the inescapable fact that there must be a sense of urgency about this, that there is, as I have said before, because I believe in my heart, there is no other issue or item before this city of greater consequence. None. And until we recognize that fact and begin to act accordingly, it seems to me that we are destined to this particular round. And I, for one, also, when I heard of that appointment by the mayor and the way in which it was done, when I saw the picture in the paper of the bus drivers again waving cheerily from the plane as they left and they were all white, I really, really wondered what my input into this was if I sat across as I did from the mayor of this city when he banged his head on the table and said, "God damn it, you're right, it's racism," right to my face. And I thought finally it got through to him. When I sat in that chair as I did and watched Mr. McKinnon sit over there, Mr. Pryor, who talked about the bus system in other cities and talked about what he had done here, and when the message was as plain and as direct as any man can make it to another of what this was about, the fact that they should blatantly again send that kind of a crew and to give as a reason that the system makes it so really means they didn't hear a word that was said. They were even given suggestions as, despite the system, the way this could be done if you really were sensitive. What we wanted to see was some difference in that composition of those people which recognized the fact
that this city is taking as its first order of priority, trying to settle the affairs of men so that men can face men squarely and straightly without having to worry about the color of their skin. It seemed to me that had been made very plain and very clear in this meeting in unequivocal terms. And all I can conclude is that either there is a massive conspiracy to avoid this, or there is the most blatant insensitivity and stupidity that can possibly exist in a government. Because it was clearly there. And the fact that they did not even have the grace to bring it up here, they did not consult any of the groups in the community, that the mayor, as a matter of fact, could go with other mayors to wonder what to do about the long, hot summer in San Diego, to get the goodies to pass out, to keep the place from burning down one more time, and without bringing this group together to say, what should I bring up with that agenda? You, for 9 months I've been sitting with you, help me make it out. What should I say to those other mayors? What can I tell them with pride? If he is speaking with pride and he has sat with this group and that's the basis of this long, hot summer, it seems to me he's made a massive mistake. Because Joe has made it as clear as can be, and so is Frank. They're not going to go this route anymore. They're tired of reacting. They laid it out, and there was no action. Now they're going to take the action, and you let the city fathers react. Now that's a hell of a way to beat. That really is. That we have come to that particular path. We have spent as much time and as much money and as much earnest effort as we have in trying to bring this issue to the fore. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, we hammered it out. We finally got it, and what happened? It turned around, and it was indeed business as usual. And they really deny that. They really don't see that those little symbolic things are what it's all about. What it's all about. When we suggested to the mayor that, for as is in our minutes, that really was at fault was the system. And one of the ways to symbolize you understood that what was at fault was the system, to appoint an office of system change. To realize whatever the city government does, there's a way in which it can now reflect the broader community. It can be done if you deliberately take it as your task. And apparently, they're not willing to do that either. I don't know if this is a summit meeting or not. I really don't. But I really believe that whether or not the summit meeting is not up to us here. Those who believe this way, as far as we're concerned, whether or not it's a summit meeting is up to the city. Because as far as I'm concerned, what they're saying is, here's the action. And whatever your reaction is will tell us whether or not you understand. And if you don't bother us. We got other things to do. And our time really is as valuable as yours.
Yeah.
It really is. And we're not to be toyed with or messed with or manipulated or just to be had. So my own feeling is also one of real personalness, that I really tried to earnestly put an effort into this, to hear and to respond and to react, and I thought the message got across. And I don't think they heard one single word that was said. It was all just like nice noise. And I think the other noise is going to be a different one. Sorry to say.
Judge, you were about to say something else there a minute ago.
I was going to say this merely as an observation to your remark about the quietness of the group, the fact that people weren't speaking. Let's start talking. Sometimes, now that quietness can mean one of two things. It can mean that some are sitting back in quiet hostility and resentment at what has been said and having their souls exposed, or it might be a little introspection. We might be quietly looking at ourselves and our beliefs and our attitudes, and we're talking to ourselves. If we're doing that and being quiet, we're getting more out of a dialogue than shooting off our mouths. I don't know what it means, but I hope it means the latter.
Joe?
What I'm going to say actually at this point becomes almost reiterating what Glenn has said. And that is, the mayor, who was one of those people who professed that he understood what the problem was, and then he pulled an act like this latter one. Then we have the thing with the bus system after we discussed that at length. That comes up. And now the Board of Supervisors are about to appoint another board for something pertaining to the minority community. And if they're not here, they're more than likely go ahead and appoint it without black people or Mexicans or any minorities being represented on that board. Now,
if you can come here and listen to what is said, and if you can, well, pay lip service to what is said, then this reminds me of an old Christian adage, and that is that you came to the place of rebirth, but you would not partake of the cup. Now, what this means is that you're just here in body, but your soul and your mind is elsewhere. You're just here because your office has to be here. Because if the chair or if some other office is not here, then it doesn't look good in the public eye when we point it up, because we're sure going to point it up. So, we can't go on with just having your body here. That's a waste of my time. It is useless for us to come here and talk to empty bodies. If we can't get minds and souls, then you are wasting your body's time, and I'm wasting my mental and physical time.
All right. Any other reactions? We're at the point at this moment of having abandoned the written or agreed-upon agenda for the specific reason that, according to the vote taken, that is not pertinent to the problem. The problem, again, as iterated and reiterated today, is the business of racism and not these little skirmishes that are going on. That's where we are at this moment. We're now hearing reactions in terms of further reinforcing that conviction. So as you go through, as the judge said, I hope your reflections here, we have time, at least another hour, 2 hour and a half, or two, 10, maybe we only have 2 minutes, however. The point is, we have some time now. So as you get your feelings together, let us have them.
I was listening to, my shot is not concerned so much with the busing, the bus situation, or the summertime thing. I'm here in behalf of Southeast San Diego black youth, you know. And I don't know if anybody else is following, but there's been quite a few promises to them. Again, as last year, everybody forgot who they're working with, you know, who are the people to work with. And I'm talking about the kids. They're not here to speak for themselves. I don't know if everybody knows what's happening in the community. And I don't know if anybody ever stopped to think that things aren't getting better. Things are getting worse. And you have people that are willing to work with them, but all the time when we come to the dialogues and we take it back to them, we can't take them back anything. We can't give them anything. And again, I say that something has to be done, and people put out ideas and they're not taken for who they're put out for. They're given some other kind of way, and we come back again and again and tell you and tell you. And you know, when people start throwing fire bombs and things and we don't know about it, then
we're in trouble.
You know, things are getting worse.
Well taken.
Mr. Chairman, I think in the absence of an agenda, we should formulate an agenda, because as I've stated repeatedly since we started these dialogues, what everybody said this morning, we've been talking and we voted on numerous occasions not to obligate anyone for any action. And then we continue to formulate an agenda and bring the agenda back, and when we discuss it and go over all of the ramifications, we still conclude that we can't obligate anyone, that this person can't take responsibility in his various department, but we invite them all here. Now we can talk here until tomorrow on how we feel about it and what we think about it. But until we can get to the heart of the matter where action can be taken. Now, someone stated that the power structure, or the money behind the power structure, frightens the people who are in office. and they can't take any action because their hands are tied and the shots are being called from other sources. Well, if that be the case, then what we need to do is to start a campaign and start looking for people who can fulfill an office without being intimidated by people that are in high money positions. So I think that if we're going to go forth today with this dialogue, we should get some type of an agenda other than racism. I mean, this is nothing that new. I mean, we all know this. This is not a thing that is new to any of us, black or white. We know what the problem is. And we've been stating, let us get to the heart of the problem. But every time we get to the heart of a problem, we veer off in another direction and start talking about we can't take any positive action. Now, unless we get somebody, a mayor or city manager or some councilman or somebody that's going to take a stand and say, well, we're going to do this in spite of what the climate may be, then we're not going to do anything. And all we're going to have are these statements coming from the various ones of us of what probably will happen if some action is not taken. And then we're going to wait until some action is taken that's going to be regretted by all of us. On the other hand, silence, I feel, is in contempt of what is being said. We can't, to my understanding, the new police chief that came in, he came in to carry out the program and the thinking of the outgoing chief, because a man who was in a position to take over the chief a few years ago was dismissed from the police department. This particular man was placed in his stead in order to still continue the unjust harassment and so forth of the people in the minority community. Now, in some of these departments, the mayor, the city manager, the police department, police chief, not the subordinates, but those people who can take action in the city council, they're going to have to get together and get themselves an agenda that's pertinent to the issues that's been discussed here in this dialogue, and then take some action, not talk about it. You see, we always lock the gate after the horse has been stolen or gone. And it's too late then because he's not in the barn anymore. So now, I don't know how they're going to go about it, but I don't know how they're going to go about it. But it's not any longer our problem. The people who are here in this dialogue, exclusive of the city officials who are elected and appointed to carry out the wishes of the people that they represent, until they can come to grips with themselves and sit down and talk about not who they're going to harass or abuse, but who they're going to help. In what areas they're going to help, then we're not going to realize that much. As I said, we've been here a year, almost a year, and the reason for our being here was an incident that happened downstairs right on the city grounds. And we came here to sit down to talk about how to offset other things that might happen that would be in similar nature. And we haven't reached anything yet. The only result that I can see, contrary result, is that when we put on the agenda the current of the bus drivers, we did have some minority people. We do have some minority people driving the city buses. Other than that, I don't see anything that Congress might be in someone's heart or mind. But intent is good, but God never promised to save anybody on intent.
I think it's a mistake to continually say that everybody knows what the problem is.
nobody is willing to admit that they don't know and understand the problem. But in this meeting 2 weeks ago, in this room, we had two fine examples of elected officials who didn't really know what the problem was. One man talks about, he stands up and takes pride in the fact that he has helped five Negroes get a job working in some menial task.
At the handyman.
At Handyman Incorporated for $1.35 an hour, and they were glad to get it. Now that is an example of a man who does not understand and know the problem. Now I don't think he will make that same mistake, that same statement again. The ceiling almost went off the top of the room at that time. Another elected official sitting at this table takes pride in the establishment of a work training program that reaches a very small few poor people, a very few minority group people, and trains them again for menial tasks. And he has taken pride in that for a long period of time, until Mr. George Stevens here tells him that that is not what we're looking for, somebody to be trained to be custodians in the hospital. So I think that there has been an educational process go on here. But we continually say we all know what the problem is. I'm not so sure that everybody fully understands the problem. They say they know it, but those were two examples of people who didn't know it. And I'm sure that that was an educational process that people didn't say, you're a slow guy for doing that. I think that that's what they expected. Somebody to pat them on the back and say, well, we're glad to see you move progress. So there is an educational process going on.
Mr. Chairman, in response to what you said, I take this agreement and all sincerity to disagree with the statement that the city officials are not aware of the problem that exists. This is a traditional thing that's been handed down from generation to generation to the city fathers, that the menial jobs and the lesser tasks with burdensome chores are to be handed down to the Negro, and they will take, to compensate, they will take a Negro and do what they call grooming him for the public eye, and in doing that he becomes brainwashed somewhat to the power structure. And the old adage is, when you want to stop a baby from crying, put a sugar tit in his mouth. And this is the thing that is existing in all of the, throughout America. These people know, the company in front of Mr. Hitch is thoroughly aware of what the problem is. He's not ignorant of the problem. He's too old a man. He's been in contact with this thing too long to know what the, to have no knowledge. But he's saying this thing that, well, now they are here, and maybe I will admit some of the things that some of the actions that are taken are taken due to a less aggressive attitude towards the black man being satisfied with crumbs on the table. But this is a new day, and our children, my boys and girls, are not going to be satisfied with the things that I'm satisfied with. When people prepare themselves to meet the issues of life and are placed back 75 years, they develop a warped personality, and when a warped personality is developed, it might turn out to be anything. And this is the situation that we have. I think all of these people here in San Diego, in our city of San Diego, all city officials, they know what the problem is. For instance, we left out of this room one day talking about name calling of various people. And one of the men who made a confession that's out of the training period that he had and then training people for various things. And just by chance, I was walking just a pace behind him and heard him talk about Poncho. You know, these are the things that, these people know what it is. They know where all the derogatory aspects are. They know how to do better if they would. But it's something that there's a sign, you know, I saw a sign up once in the country road. It said, be careful of the ruts you take because you have to travel to the next city. And this is the problem. See, we're between cities and can't get out of these ruts.
Okay. I saw Frank and Hamilton over here.
I have to agree with honestly. I think that our city officials or our city councilmen are definitely aware of the problems that we face as minority groups. I think we have a councilman sitting to my right who went to school, and I went to school with him. He knows what the problems of the Mexican American are. He's gone to school with Negroes. I think that I was speaking to one of our city councilmen, and he was so concerned about getting to his Spanish class so that he could speak to the businessmen in Mexico so that they could put their sign on their little window that says, aquí aceptamos pesos mexicanos.
Money.
Yeah. However, because he could not see or was not aware, I'm sure he was aware of the problems in the barrio, the Mexican-American problems, but because there was not a mass held at the Catholic Church where a majority of the people were Mexican-American, he was not aware of it. I think that it's time that many people begin to wake up and realize that perhaps the Mexican-American is not ready at this time to bomb or to burn, but this frustration that we're experiencing now has got to blow. I think that we're no longer, we've organized the state college under a group, we're no longer the complacent, docile group that you're used to listening to. I think that it's not that I or our group particularly wants to be accepted by the majority. I think what we want to do is look into the future and to say that we will be able to participate in equal opportunities in education and employment. And as long as we're caught in the same bag, nothing is going to change. And I think that we have, when we say there's no discrimination among the Mexican American and the structure, I think that I, in more than two occasions, have been told my parents don't want me to date you because you're Mexican American. Or else when I was going through Memorial, there was one group that was going this way, taking the college courses, and there was the other group that was always getting back out into his own community at the eighth grade level. I think we have an official here today, Phil Del Campo, who is very well aware of the discrimination that we suffer in schools and education. He's had plenty of experience to know how the testing, linguistic, and cultural problems that we face as a Mexican American, who at the beginning of his educational experience is discriminated against. Maybe it's not because exactly of the pigmentation of skin, but testing, counseling. This is why we always end up in the low jobs or in the low strata as far as our minority. Our councilmen, our officials are well aware.
You can say it here. It's all right. Ms. Martin, and then
each person has to speak as he sees things and feels, and I think that the trend of this discussion is excellent and it's extremely interesting to me. I would only want to offer how I see a large aspect of this problem. I do think there is a great lack of awareness and lack of understanding. There is great stupidity and great fatuity in this community and in the nation and, of course, in the world. I think that the well-off and the moderately well-off don't know what it is to be poor, with few exceptions. I think the well don't know what it is to be sick. I think the young and middle-aged don't know what it is to be old. And in a very real way, I think the majority of groups do not know what it is to be a member of a minority. I do think, though, that much of this is lack of understanding and awareness. This sort of thing is extremely helpful in moving against it. I think that I was extremely interested when the Los Angeles Times 3 months ago ran a long article on the situation in this community that may well have not penetrated to the degree that many here would be able to speak to, but still went very much further than anything I had seen before in terms of a presentation to the citizens broadly of a condition that existed. I think that all of the things that can be done to bring this to a greater awareness generally are very good.
Over here, and then I'll give you a hand in New York.
First of all, I've listened to what everybody said right here. It was touched off about racism, it was touched off the Mexicans. Did pretty well stand up, but I think what we all fail to realize, what we really, the minorities are fighting for, we fight for power. Everybody in this room, I think, has got some power. We want some of it. And we're going to get some. This is what we're trying to tell you. We're going to get some. We're trying to get it without being violent and getting it. We come to you and we tell you. And this is what's wrong. You don't want to give up this power. You got it and you don't want to share. But we're going to get some. We might die getting it. But we're telling you, do something. You've been meaning, like you said, for a whole year. We young people, we come and tell you, and we say, we even have problems. We intelligent, we can think. We can sit up and see what's the problem. And we tell you what a problem is, and you sit here and say, well, nobody is obligated to do anything. What you doing here? Now, we have a problem. There is a problem going on now. It's pretty bad shape, the teen post. There can be teen posts set up all over this town. You can sit up and talk about a $5 million bond for a statue up on a hill, but you can't see by doing nothing for us. Now, I think it's time that either you all start doing some out of this meeting, or won't you just go to hell alone?
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
No, but somebody else asked that first. Rosemary?
Yeah, well, I saw that one, too. But I think that maybe something that started here, even though we don't have an agenda, was interesting when different ones started saying in areas that they see that as a result of meetings, things should have been done. Like, for instance, as a result of this, the mayor should have been sensitive enough to have contacted different ones regarding this whole appointment bit. His community relations department should have been sensitive enough to have known what would have happened. Mike, I remember when Chief Police Rhodes was appointed, I read that Mike was immediately in the city council provoked not over Chief Police Rhodes' appointment as a man, but over the method by which the appointment was made. And I would say how beautiful it would have been, Mike, if as representative of the minority community, you would have seen the same thing. The community, I don't even know if you had the feeling for Chief Lee Rhodes that the minority community and others have for Leon. So it's not him, and I think that's important that people don't take away a perception that you see the community fights among itself and all that. It's highly supportive of the individuals, but they're just as provoked about the process as you were about Chief Police Road, even though it is stipulated that appointment can come through the city manager, and all you have to do is tell the city council that that's the appointment, as I understand from the papers. So there's not even that kind of a system set up as applies to the minority community. But they, as a whole, had the kind of reaction I think that Mike had as a city councilman. I wasn't considered. I was made to feel rather unimportant in this very important thing. And so when they say that in the mayor's State of the City address, we were hardly mentioned. And they say that mm-hmm. Chief Police Road is getting out in the community. He's doing a lot more than the others. But when he is constantly saying that the success of last summer's peacefulness and the summertime programs was because of the good police action, and I don't dispute that. I'm not getting in the police department, but the success of that summertime program was strictly because of the individuals from the community involved and the big success of it had to do with Team Post,
right.
I think, and as I say, was that at Flounder, and Flounder, and this was mentioned 2 weeks ago, and I remember saying someone ought to pick up the salary of one of those guys and let him go. A $400 a month investment from someone here could have been forthcoming, just boom, if they really were interested. So I think that it's helpful, and it's maybe more than a cathartic, to be able to say what you think should have happened, why you think it should have happened, and bring these things out in the open, because I think that it lays it out on the table, and maybe it gives some guidelines for future action. And if you don't do things, not what you can say.
You want to follow that again?
Like I said before, we do have a plan. And it's money involved. Yes, it's money. You're going to have to spend some money to try to save what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And we're not here begging nobody for nothing. We're bargaining.
Right.
We don't guarantee that we can stop no riot out there.
Right.
But we're doing a pretty good job of trying. Now, when I first came in, I had a budget set up. Yeah, we sit up and we figure out budgets, too. I had a budget set up just for the black people. I forgot my cousin. So I could see a possibly $60,000 spent in a 6 month period that probably could prevent most of what's happening out there. And I know good and well it would be more damage than $60,000 burn up, people possibly getting killed out there, and it's happening. But everybody's sitting here and you still sit and you look blank and nothing. Do something.
I think the thing which to me is kind of symbolic of what the hell the problem is that we had a meeting the other day with the city trying to sit down and they were going to explain to us what they did all that they did in relation to the summertime program. In the meantime, when we're trying to get this meeting together, there's a riot of a small sort going out in southeast San Diego. And these three men who are out trying to do something about it, where are they? They're down in the city jail handcuffed and Collier gets them out. And I'm not kidding you. Isn't that a fact? You came to the meeting right from the jailhouse. I'm saying that's the kind of thing that, what can you expect? We're trying to groom leadership. The time comes when you want the leadership, and where is the leadership? Probable cause for raising trouble and they're down in jail without being charged and Collier gets them out, and that's supposed to be how our city really understands this problem. And it seems to me that we said clearly enough, or at least I said it in our voice loud enough to be heard in this room, that I think it's a crying shame that we raise up some leaders like this and then we divert them off, we cut off their water, we cut off the gas, we can't get up enough change to keep the team post going because we're not sure of what's going on inside of there. You can't do it that way. You've got to take it like it is. You really do, and make something of it. You just can't say we don't like the terms of it, we're going to put it away. And we can't say, whenever they get together, there's probable cause that something bad's going to happen, so pick them up, and then hire Bill Collier to spring them. That's a very poor system. You do it before that, so they don't get picked up. So there isn't that system. So they are the leaders, and we're behind them and they're behind them. And they can sit down here and have that power, damn it. They should have it. They've got it. And they should be here bargaining with us.
Follow that in. And
right. What I'd like to also add, too, you know, like, in agreement to what he said, you know, because you don't know what's happening in there, you're suspicious of the thing. Now, you had 200 years to try to solve the problem. You can't solve it. It's been proven. You're making a phenomenal job of every damn thing you put your hands in. Let us solve our own problem, but give us some financial aid to do it. We might not go about it the way that you see fit, but who the hell are you to decide how we should live our lives?
Correct.
So do something, please.
Don't please.
George,
this is just the way I feel. But I'm not begging. I want this understood. No, I'm not.
George and then Mike.
Gil, I think, well, first of all, the third thing is three things now since you made this.
Louder, George.
Three things since he made this statement Harold made here. But the first of all was a response about people not understanding the problem. I'm not so sure anymore. I'm concerned about white people understanding my problem.
All I want them to do is look at me as a man and the damn problem is solved.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a second man, a third man, a lesser man, but a man. And then that problem is solved, because if you cut this off today, hell, I can make it to the punch where you left me behind before on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But you cut it now and stop discriminating now. You open up Point Loma, you open up the schools, you open up the jobs, and damn the education, I'll find these little way for these black cats to get it.
Right.
But I'm tired. Don't keep saying that we don't understand the problem. I don't care if you don't understand it. Just understand that I'm a man and black sisters are women. And Mexicans are Mexicans, and they're men and women. Just understand that, and you don't need to help me in no way to understand what is happening to me, why I only got 6 months of school, why my mama dropped out in the fourth grade, she couldn't go on because the cotton field had to be fixed. I don't care if you don't understand that. Just take it from that where it is right now and stop discriminating against me. And number two, on the schools. Now, I've been called already about the bombs at the schools. That the white teachers are beginning, they're going to resign. They're getting hit in the mouth by the black students. They're getting the fire bombs in the school. They say their cars are going to be blown up. And then, therefore, the black kids won't have no teachers. I said it would be a hell of a lot better. We can import some black ones from the South and do a hell of a lot better job in the education system if all the white ones get out of Southeast San Diego. That doesn't bother me. But the point is here's what bothers me. Is that when all these black kids, and you know we're not going to recruit black teachers from the South, we're not going to get them in LA to come into San Diego, but what's going to happen is that when the white teachers leave Southeast San Diego, we're going to bust them black kids to Point Loma, La Jolla, and that's going to raise the hell out of a storm in your community. Now, for that reason alone, you better get it squared away. Because you know you don't want those black kids going out there with those white kids in La Jolla and Point Loma. I know you don't want that. There's another thing on begging. Nobody begs. Every time you get ready to build a stadium, a highway, you go to the state tax board and get support from it. Every time you get ready on your 200th anniversary, you go to somebody and ask the businessman to give you some money or the city to give you some money for the 200th anniversary celebration. You go back to Washington, you get federal funds. That's why you want the general plan to pass so you get federal funds. Hell, I'm not begging. You're begging more than I am. You get more money on this government than any black community in this country gets. So no, we're not begging, brother. It's money that you pay out of your wages and I pay out of mine, and I want some of it back in that black community instead of Point Loma.
Mike,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate being mentioned by Rosemary and my Mexican-American friend and
Mexican-American
friend. I don't know whether I'm being commended or condemned, but I'm happy to be evaluated.
It's probably the last
job when we're evaluated. We do have Tom Hom want to be here today, but he had to go to the hospital today. We have Councilman Scheidel here today. Councilman Morrow was here last week. The councilmen are trying to we're not going to turn around and say, George, you don't understand the situation. At least I don't say that. Maybe someone else does, but I don't. We hear a lot of generalities and some specifics thrown up around the table, but I would like to see a lot of these generalities are pretty hard to act on. Now, I've had two leaders that aren't here today but have been to these meetings come to my office and sit down, and we close the door and we talk at each other and sort of a gut discussion, and we come up with specifics, and one of them resulted in a memo to the city manager on something that I think is healthy. Another resulted in a memo to the Port Authority on something. My door is always welcome to anybody in this room or anybody outside to sit down and hash this over. They may want to say some things to me or call me some names they don't want to see in the newspaper, and I may want to discuss some stuff with them. And there's no law that says we have to bring the press in when any two citizens get together and talk on these things. And I'll sit down and put it in paper. Now, we can talk and everybody can just close their ears and let it go in and one eye and sign out the other. But when we put it in a memorandum to somebody, or when we ask a direct question to the city manager, the chief of police, in writing, and he has to respond, then we find out yes or no or why. And if he says no, why does he say no? That way we can, I think specific is the answer. Now, there were a lot of specifics mentioned recently about Civil Service Commission. I mentioned to somebody, let's put something down in writing, just what we want to modify there, and I will go with you to the Civil Service Commission, so at least the council will have some understanding. It won't be you versus the Civil Service Commission. It'll be you with some of the council trying to get a decent answer to a decent question. Now, the council
we had a couple of swimming pools. That didn't solve the whole answer. There was a recommendation for two, and we wound up with four. We are building two big, gigantic $250,000 pools, but they're not going to be open until early 69. So we're going to have these four not recreational pools, but to teach swimming. One problem we had is a lot of kids who were taken over to the Navy pool and taken to the other pools hadn't been in water before, hadn't had a chance to learn how to use it. So now we're getting these smaller pools so kids will feel at home with water. So when they go to the Y pool, when they go to the Boys Club pool, when they go to the Navy pool, and they go to the $250,000 pools we're building, they'll feel at home there. Now, I don't know all the answers to anything, but I'm trying to make a decent effort to learn more. I have a lot to learn as a public official. I've only been in this business for 2 years. And I would appreciate it if anybody in this room has something to chew at. They can stand up and talk about me in public here, but if they'd like to come to the office, we can just sit down and have a gut discussion, and it'll result in something on paper that we can all benefit from.
Mr. May I respond to that?
Frank, first.
Our councilman asked for facts. We've been battling with Mr. Christian at the Department of Employment to get someone bilingual there to work with the Mexican Americans, so when he comes in, he's not handed a piece of paper and say, you don't speak your language so well, so make sure you bring an interpreter down with us. We battled Christian, Kessner, you name it. We battled them. Number two.
You talk to your state representatives.
I've written a letter to Governor Reagan. We've written a letter to every official that we know. The second one is our English as a second language. I think that we know that we may have some model projects in English as a second language, but with really tokenism, we may be reaching 1 or 2%, and Mr. Phil Del Campo can possibly verify this. Three, when you're working in a Mexican-American community and the health department, the assistant director of the health department comes out to our community and tells us what a tremendous job they're doing in reaching the community, and we know as a fact that there are three nurses, not one is bilingual, and there is a nurse, and I'll use her name if you want back, Paul, who goes and knocks on a door, uses a 9-year-old daughter, a Mexican-American, to translate, to give information on birth control or family planning. This is a complete disregard for any dignity of a minority group or Mexican-American. These are facts. These are things that we feel. These are things that we're living. This is why we're talking. But again, I think that I will go along with the general feelings of the group, that we're talking here as we are talking in the barrio or in the community. And we're not talking, we're not getting any action done. Those doors are open. We can get letters out, but until we can completely get together, and we're learning, the Mexican-American is learning, if it means getting united to do something, we're going to move. And at that time, we don't have to come in and knock on your door and say, let's sit down and talk and give me a drink and a cigarette and coffee, and this is the problem. We try it. These are specific examples. I can give you 10 or 20 more.
George?
Mr. Chairman, you're not coming downtown, Mike.
That's right. I'll come to you, George.
Just a second, Mike. We're not coming downtown. See, when you ran for city council, you told us you'd be out there with us. You represent the 8th District, Mike, not the number 4, whatever it is, downtown. Tom Hahn represents 4, which covers San Diego and also Southeast San Diego out to Wabash Freeway or 47th Street. We're not coming to your office, Mike. You hear the problems right here. You take this word back, because I'm not going to come here this morning and come to see you this afternoon. I don't have that kind of time, Mike. You paid
this morning, George.
Just finish, Mike. If you don't learn anything here about what to do, then, Mike, you might as well leave. No one else. If you're not learning what's going on here about what the problem is and about doing something about it, then nobody's going to come to your office. And you're a councilman. You said you knew how to do these things. You know how to represent people. Now get the hell representing them.
Okay.
I got a few lines here to say. Accordingly, what have been said here, I've learned lots of business about this problem. The Filipino groups, the Asiatic groups, are minorities of the minority. We are a small segment of the society of our country. But the children that are born and are going to expand that number, and we, Oriental people, are humble and contented, although not contented, as some people said, because we don't have the leaning or the power that can express ourselves. So this day, we have to go to the Negro, we have to go to the Mexican-American to help us out and lead us to the same problem they have. The problem is our problem, not for fact. That is why I'm here. That's why we had a meeting week after week. Because we are going to explain also our structure in our society. To erase what we call today, the issue is discrimination or second-class citizen. I've served the country for 40 years. And I have a good family. Probably this out of record, Mr. Chairman. But I want to example to you. My boy is major in the Army's Medical Corps. He served his place in Vietnam. I served two wars, three wars, the Korean, the first, and the second. I'm still here. When this program was initiated, the mayor called a mass meeting in Babua Park. We received the communication. After that, no more. So where we go? Here is the delegate from the Negro and the Mexican American. I'm one of them. Gentlemen, the fact here is we have seen disaster. We have learned lessons of this problem. If we can put or place the man on the moon, we can solve this problem. We get to the root of this. Let's not play around and make lots of falsification, of pretension. Let's go to the problem. We made error, we made mistakes, we are all human. But I'll tell you the truth, if we cannot get to the root of this, we'll be in trouble. Why? Because this young generation, these young people, they want to be helped. They want to go to the problem where it started. Let's get to the root of this. And this is the people that we are going to deal with. These are the people that we are going to go and find out what they want, what they need, and how they want to do it. But if the city fathers ignore this, I'm afraid, it will be a matter of what you call the business as usual. It's not going to happen again. Let's get to the root of this problem and see what we are going to do, and let's go on. Keep going. Thank you very much.
Who was this? That, were you next, Menor, or was the, Albert? Menor and then Albert.
I'm sorry that I was a little bit late this morning. However, there was some discussion as I arrived. concerning the agenda that's before us, and at the end of the discussion, Jordan, I think, suggested that we vote on not discussing the issues on the agenda, and then everybody agreed and proceeded to talk for about 30 minutes, again blasting the mayor, city officials for their action in this business of the appointment. And this, I think, is kind of an example of a frustration I have. I came here a year ago. I will admit now I know a lot more than I did then, and I don't know that I do understand the problem, but I think I understand why I don't understand the problem. I think it was expressed at the last dialogue when one of these young men, I think, or one with me, Mr. Richards, stated that you have a different culture, and that as a result, the you have frustrations because we don't understand your culture. Well, this may be true, and we may not be able to understand it, but there are a few things that we're trying to do and we're heading for, and each one of them has been rebutted this morning and will continue to be rebutted as tokenism and not sufficient, but I, for one, want to see us try to get on the track of the direction we're going. I know I will be chastised when I stop speaking because I'm white and because for these very same reasons, but I don't agree with George that I don't respect him as a man. I respect him as a man, and I want to respect him as a man. And I don't care if my kids, I want my kids to go to school with black children, and they go to school with them, and they go surfing with them. And I, these things, personally, don't bother me. And I feel, though, the responsibility as a city official to resolve these problems. Now, we have been attempting to take actions, and Mr. Schaefer pointed these out, the mayor has pointed them out in the past, he we're attempting to do these things, and we apparently make a mistake each time we do. Well, let's try and see if we can correct making this mistake. I don't know if we really make the mistake or not, but the thing that the frame of reference, I don't know whether we make the mistake or not, but the frame of reference we operate from is a set of laws, a constitution that our country has had for many years and that we have created a society upon, and the decisions that we make, we are attempting to make as a result of the reactions of the society. One of the important parts of this is a recognition of the minority and their role and their place. I went to a teen center. I thought I was invited. As I got there, I found out that I really wasn't. I was an interloper. But I went with the idea of trying to find out what the problems are and try to work them out. I experienced the same kind of reaction that we got because it was the same people. I think these young men were there and others that were here the last session. But my life was threatened. I was told my head was going to hang in their closet. I think Joe was there. I think he was reciting. I sincerely am attempting to try to find out the problem and get to the bottom of the problem and try to find out what it is that is to be given or not given, is to be planned by the city per se. The swimming pools were discussed and they were rejected. The park was discussed at the meeting I attended. It was rejected. But we seem to be running around in a vacuum. When we started to discuss dialogue several months ago, we agreed that we were going to be talking about planning for the future, the things that George mentioned here and the direction we're going, but we seem to keep slipping back into the immediate problems of an individual or the problems of today. Now, I don't mind trying to resolve the problems of the day. If we need to sit down, list the 60 things you have, take the $60,000 you have, how do we work it out, that's fine. And if this is what we want to do in dialogue, this is the direction we should go. If we want to try to get out of this area, leave that to something else, then that's fine too. But I think we should decide which direction we want to go and try to get some action in this area.
I'll take the prerogative of the chair just for a moment on that note. I think that what I hear is, I hear several messages at the same time, and maybe for some of you to really understand the rejection, to understand that the actions taken are still not what have been articulated here, namely that the swimming pools per se is what they're saying is not really symbolic of the problem. even getting them. And the $60,000 would indicate certain kinds of things. I think we should have two or three people give in order to highlight what they're talking about, what they mean when they say, if you understand the problem, this is the direction you would go in, and all these other things would fall in place. And maybe Joe can give one or two examples of, if you understand really all the frustrations and the way it's been said this morning, that these other things are like when you go back to your room, then you take the pencil and paper and do these things because you really understand the problem. And I think if we can get one or two of those, and we can get on around with some other comments. Joe?
Let me just say one more thing. The thing, I guess, that upsets me is that this is a personal attack. Maybe it's on me. If it's on my office, I feel it. If it's on the mayor, a personal attack. And as long as we deal in personalities and the personal attack, I don't think we're going to get any place. I think that we let's go for a constructive attack. Now, I realize the answer is, well, this is tokenism. We've been trying to, we're not getting action. By the same token, we've got thousands of dollars in millions of dollars in capital improvement projects going in the very area that we've talked about. These things, but let's get out of the personality and down into the brotherhood if this is where we want to go.
Well, let me clear up one point, then give it to Joe. The attack this morning has not been personal. When Joe and George or Reverend Oxley and the judge laid out the insensitivity, in their own words, of the mayor in doing this and ignoring the community is symbolic of what they're trying to say. They're saying that the insensitivity grows out of the lack of this understanding of the problem or accepting the problem, not in the sense that you, Menno, for example, is totally responsible for this. To the degree that each person has a responsibility to do something in his area is personal, and they are saying it should be taken personally. That an individual in that kind of position should be sensitive to it, and within his power should do certain things. To that degree, it should be taken personally. Joe?
Well, it's been inferred that I'm here because it's popular to be here, and if I keep coming here, then we won't have riots and disturbances this summer. That is absolutely not true on my part. I am here sincerely, and I think it's true of most of the leaders that are here, because you can't get them to meetings just because they're popular. They don't have this kind of time, and believe me, I don't have this kind of time. And I think we're here to try to get at the real basic issues. I know we can't get at the problem. Let's assume it. Let's get at the issues and see if we can work toward the problem. Maybe it's 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe a generation. This is what I'm trying to say.
Joe?
This is possibly the last statement I'll ever make before this group. We have to go now. But I want to redefine this problem before I go, for your sake, if for no other reason. First thing, you have to understand what racism is. Racism is that which causes this disregard for black people. The fact that the mayor did not regard black people's and Mexicans' opinion as worthy of anything is racism. It's the fact that he feels, or it's the acceptance that a cultural difference makes you inferior. The fact that white people feel that any culture or subculture in this system is inferior to theirs is racism. Racism doesn't allow the other cultural aspects the latitude of self-attainment or self-determination. This is racism. So what does this mean? It means that In dealing with us, you deal with us as something less than human. This is not personal. I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking of the white people, the white power system. Now, as we move forward, Mike says, I'd like to talk to you about, this is not personal. I want you to realize it. I just want to point this up because this is significant in terms of the mentality of the white official. He says, I'd like to talk to you behind closed doors. Fine, I go down and talk to you behind closed doors. You say yes, but that doesn't commit you to anything because nobody knows about it. Specifics, by saying I'd like to talk about specifics, there in itself says that you don't understand the problem. You don't understand the problem. Matter of fact, this dialogue should allow 15 minutes for specifics. If there's some specific problem that black people have, they should be able to come here and say this and this and this, and whoever the person is involved with it should take it and go from there, and we won't have to talk about specifics. We should be able to talk about how do we attack the main problem, how do we talk or attack the roots of this problem, and then we get back to attacking racism. Until we do that, we're just spinning our wheels. You see, this is the only thing that white city officials, white officials can do, is attack racism, because you can't decide what's good for black people. It is racism that won't allow black people the latitude to run the team post without white interference. If you had a respect for their ability to do these things, you give them money to go ahead, and I'll see you come next time around. You can give me a report at the end of the year, and I'll accept that if everything's in line. You see, this is the respect for the cultural difference. This is the lack of racism. This is without racism. But racism doesn't allow you to do this. And the last thing is, every time something is brought up specifically, you people react to it. You react. Yet you say, I want specifics. And then when some specific is brought up, you react. That's a guilt feeling. Guilt because you are not ready to accept what the system is. You are all racist. I will stand here and say, you are all racist because you cannot be any more than the context to which you owe your existence. This is a racist system, and you, by your position, your environment, you are a racist. Now, if you feel for this country, because when I told you the first that you standing on the eve of destruction, I am not lying to you. That is the position of this country today. That is the exact place that we are standing today. So if you feel for this, then you best, if you think of prosperity, if you think of your children, then you best try to get some program, some long-range program, which will not allow them to grow up as you have. In other words, grow up to be grown-up racists rather than little bitty racists. We have to do this, at least if you feel that it is incumbent on you to sustain this system or to sustain this society, then this is what you will do. You will attack racism and the education that you gain in dialogue, you will be able to deal with specifics without me having to prompt you. You'll be able to, when I come in and say that, look, mayor or whoever you are, there were no black people appointed to this new bus system, then of course that's all need to be said. If you are aware of the problem, which is racism, the thing that made you restrict or disregard black people in the first place, then you go off and you amend that on your own, and I don't have to keep a check over your shoulder. See, because if we get tied up dealing with specifics, we, in this dialogue, then we spend the whole time with specifics and we never get anywhere else. So to close, I just want to say that the problem is racism, and we have to attack that. And when we get to a point where we can talk about developing a program to attack racism, then you have just moved one position ahead of everybody else in the United States. You have just taken the step to build a model community. You've just done that. But until you do that, you are doing nothing. No matter how many meetings you come here and sit and talk to black people and Mexicans and other minorities, you aren't doing a damn thing. You are wasting my time, and that's why I'm not coming back. And you're wasting your own time, and you should think more of yourself than that.
Can I ask you, did you want to ask him a question?
Yes. Isn't black power racism the same as white racism?
I reject that. Mainly because you don't know what black power is, and for you to make that statement.
I'm asking the question. I'm not making the statement.
No.
Right. Joe, before you go, I think Donna wanted to...
Joe, in line with what Joe said, it seems to me, and I subscribe to practically everything that has been said this morning by many people, I don't know how long it would take for any of us, for the white majority, really to understand racism in the gut. I have no objection to making all these attempts to understand it. But sometimes there has to be a shortcut in terms of what Joe says and in terms of behavior. I don't know how long it would take to sit down and hammer out either specific or long-range plan. But in the meantime, sometimes we have to behave as if. Sometimes we have to behave as though we understood something down here, only maybe on the basis of what we understand intellectually. Now, the message certainly has been given loud and clear. And I would think that one shortcut which could be taken without having to discuss specifics or even lay out a long-range plan is that everybody in this city who is in a responsible position of any kind could at least take for granted, as a rule of thumb, whether it's understood in the gut or not, that every single decision that is made should be tested as though there is a problem of racism. That every decision, and I don't care whether it's an appointment or whether it's a public pronouncement or whether it has to do with building a statue or the 200th anniversary, that everything in every department be looked at as though it involved a question of racism and be tested against this. In other words, that the officials take it for granted that it's going to come out as a racist thing unless they take a look at it in front, beforehand, not afterwards. At the very least, it seems to me that this kind of obligation is incumbent on all of the people in responsible positions.
That's another specific. Frank, you're going with...
We have an appointment at 11:15. Before I go, I'd say this is the first time I've come to the meeting, and I want to thank everyone for having the opportunity to express my opinion. I think that the next time I come, I'm looking around the room, I don't see very many Mexican Americans. I will make a promise that next time, if you want to come and see Mexican Americans, I will have them here. We will have them here. You can see the people, how they think, what they are thinking. And possibly by being exposed to them, you will look at them in a different light, or possibly try to understand them. So I am going to be back. Thank you.
The gentleman leaving, did you sign our register? Did you want to? Roster?
No, that's all right.
Mike, we never did get to you. And we didn't get to Albert over here.
Well, maybe about 3 months ago, of course, they were always talking about the city fathers. But I think we mentioned something about the invisible city fathers. The fellows with the money and the influence. And maybe we might be talking to the wrong people, even if we are talking to the city officials. And maybe their hands might be tied. Now, like our councilman in our area, Tom Hahn, I was mentioned today, I said, well, where's Hahn? He is never down in that area. Well, you'll have to go up there and make an appointment to see Tom Hahn in that area. Well, why can't he come on his own? He'll have to be invited. This is his district. Now, we were going to make some kind of a committee with us so we could have some kind of rapport with these invisible city fathers, you know, the ones that are backing all the city officials and everything else. Now, how could we go about to get those type of people in this dialogue?
I think that puts the question a different way, since we also agree that this should be public officials and they should come up with some kind of action to show that they understand the problem and are therefore committed to the behavior, whether or not they have changed their attitude. I think the other part we talked about in that was the different organizations represented here should pick up on that note, and you and yours and everybody in theirs, and then go behind the scenes and let them know also what's going on. But maybe we need some more reactions to that.
Sure. Can I react to that?
Yes.
I think you're reaching the right people. I think that city and county government and the people around here do have a role to play in setting some direction, you know, some public policy as to what they're going to do. And I agree completely with what Mrs. Salk has said about the necessity of acting, at least intellectually, as if we really understand the problem emotionally, you know, and start judging our reactions or our actions on the basis. Is this really understandable in terms of the kind of society we live in? Is this a racist action, or will it be interpreted as such? The second thing, though, is I think that we have to reach other people as well as the people in this room. And I'm thinking about the business and community leadership that very frequently is responsible for public officials being where they are, for financing the campaign, for giving them the kind of support they need. And I would suggest that the CIC, which initiated these dialogues, and without them, none of us would have the beginning comprehension of what we understand now. The CIC also attempts to reach that other kind of leadership, the business, industrial, and professional leadership, and that you structure the same kind of dialogue with the same kinds of participation and give the people who have come here out of the community, from the Mexican-American and Negro communities, an opportunity not to bargain, but to present the feelings that they have about what goes on here. As I'm concerned, and I know that other people share this concern, that we are living on a kind of a powder keg, on borrowed time. And I don't think we're moving fast enough to recognize the problem and to explain it to the community. Last night, Mr. Reed addressed our board of directors, and he pointed out that the mayor's address to this community was essentially a review of the economic and physical development in San Diego, and we can all take pride in these achievements. But on the level of the people problems that this community and every other city is concerned with throughout America, he simply learned nothing. And that he did not talk about what's going to happen, about increasing the housing opportunities for low-income people who are mostly of the minority group, but not exclusively. He did not talk about the possibilities of a really comprehensive effort to improve the health and employment and other kinds of services in these areas. He did not talk about increasing transportation in these areas. There is really little or nothing that would suggest that there was a recognition of the people problem. And I think that before, you know, all these things are very kind of specific things that public officials are interested in, and they don't deal with the emotional issues that have been raised here. But I think that we have to attack it from the point of view of public policy, and we also have to attack it with a much broader understanding on the part of community leadership, the people who are responsible for helping officials to reach their decisions about where this community is going and how fast and in what direction.
Well taken. Will do. Albert, I recognized you a minute ago and forgot.
I wanted to state that we are not, I don't know if the city officials this doesn't do anything to, for the mainly the other people, that we are not going to work for the city for free this year. You know, they can get the leaders, whoever they think that they are leaders, that they can take an office and talk to them, they can communicate with them. But we are not going to work for this city this summer for free. When it comes time, I cannot sit there and tell 500 black kids that this city cannot give them a swimming pool or a pool table or a building. I'm not going to do it this year. If they want 500 want to find out, then they're coming here to find out for themselves. And the city officials can tell them that they cannot get $3,000 for a portable swimming pool. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to work for them for free. They're going to have to give up something. And they better start looking and open up.
Mr. Chairman, we jump back on these things that we've been working on, deferential perceptions now. I speak most of the time I speak out of experiences I've had. I don't want to lay all the fault on the people who are behind the scene in the actions that the city officials take when they're in office. I do admit that the money is put up by certain people to foster campaigns. But we had an incident here a few months ago on a committee that I'm on, and I raised a question concerning some actions, and one of the officials, city officials, said that, well, this was one of the reasons why we didn't want to increase the committee to include too many outsiders. Now, I'm an outsider. I'm independent. I pastor a church that adequately supports me. I don't have to take any handouts from anybody to live. And so I'm solely independent. And I work in and for the betterment of the black community and minority people, and predominantly those I work with are black. So that's my first concern. Now, we raised a question a moment ago. We're getting into specifics now. We raised a question a few months ago about the changing of the city charter. And this is getting to the heart of the matter where we can do something about it. I know all this due respect to Mr. Schaefer and Mr. Hom. I had the opportunity to visit Mr. Hom's headquarters during the campaign, and it was Lily White, and his votes were coming from black people. Until we can change this city charter so we can get a black man or two on the city council at the policy-making level, and this is what these this is what people are talking about when they say power, then we are going to be killing ourselves. See, we can't get a black man on the city council because it was so designed by the founding fathers of the city to keep him off in the event that expansion would take place where Negroes would be centrally localized and get a district where, a councilman district where they could get one, because they would have to come to the city for the final approval. Now, I'm wondering what type of pressure can we bring to bear to the voters of the city to amend this city charter where we can get a one or two black men or Mexican Americans elected to the city council, where we can, that understand these problems in Southeast San Diego and other minority areas where the city fathers said they are ignorant of the problems that exist in the city. I wonder, can we do anything here? As mentioned by the pool a moment ago, I wonder, where are these pools located? Like Mr. Schaefer mentioned this, about the pools that are going to train children how to swim, teach them how to swim or something. Where are they located?
Where they're going to be located.
Directly.
I think one is Mountain View Park. I'm not sure. There's one down in Nestor someplace in South San Diego. I think there's one somewhere near Linda Vista. And then there's another one.
Highland Landers.
They started out with two, and they were going to be available for a certain length of time at one place and moved around, and we have lost four, so we can double the length of time at each location. There are three permanent pools, one at Valencia Park. It's going to be completed by First 69. I think there'll be another one up near Colina del Sol, and then there'll be another one somewhere in the Coast area. I'm not sure where. That'd be Sarah Mesa, Kearney Mesa.
Yeah, well, my major problem, Mr. Chairman, is now how can we go about doing something about this city charter? If we want to start, we have to start at the ground and work up. Now, the major problem that I discovered here in getting black people in on the policy-making level, see, when you look at the mayor's office, his assistants and all the secretaries and everybody, and in the city manager's office, his assistants, all the secretaries and everything else, all white throughout this city hall, where we're talking about changing things. Anywhere in the city hall, I think I've seen about four or five black faces walking around the city hall, and I don't know what they were doing. But in all the offices that I've been in, all the receptionists and everybody else, now I don't know whether this is because of the civil service exams or not, but I know that some black girl can pass a civil service examination just up and answer a telephone and tell you the mayor's busy. I know they do that. Now, somewhere, these people are going to have to do something. There are no wives in the Mexican-American girls, and the Filipino girls, anyway. All I've seen is Caucasian girls there in those offices. And we come here at this table and we sit here and talk about what we're going to change, and we're going to integrate this type of thing and the other type of thing, and all the people that are talking about what they're going to do and their intentions all around them is a complete Lily White setup. And then they put you on the spot and put you in a position where you have to coordinate these efforts and still remain black. And they elect another Negro to or something, and he must coordinate and still remain black. You see, these are the obstacles that you have to try to overcome. And I feel that the first thing we can overcome is changing this charter where we can get a black man name on one of them city council rooms down here in the city council place.
All right, let's just see if we can get some reactions from some public officials here. Let's see if we can get some reactions from some public officials. Mike is first and short, and then some other public officials are here. See if we can get some reactions. We have one over here. Mike, hold on for a minute. We have some. All right, here.
This was the first dialogue meeting I've attended, and in a way I probably should regret that I've missed some of them. However, coming in, hearing the frustrations that have gone on, and I think today also, that no one particularly sees any great progress. General just spoke, talked about the method of getting from black people in the council office. I would like to call your attention that the real problem that I see is that I think all of us have to recognize we have to agree on some goals. And I might point out to many, many things that have happened in the city of San Diego that we all look at as being great, I'm quite sure, whether it be the general plan, the water system, the takeover of the public transit, which is a little bit of improvement, the passage of bond issues. But if we add those up, we'll find that there are an awful lot of people that didn't agree with it. What I'm saying is I don't think anybody in this room is going to agree on what the problem is or what the solution is. And I think that to set up some ambitious goals and some attainable goals, and then those who are trying to attain the goals will have to recognize that they're not going to get everything they want and everything happen just on the schedule that they want it to happen. There's going to have to be a little bit of tolerance. Now, I think I've heard it said many times here today that we have to by this time and that by that time. And I don't think that that is going to be the answer, because you are going to have some very militant people who will disagree. And this has happened on every major issue we have. I can't think of one major project, and I can't think of any project as complicated as the problem that you're looking at, or we're looking at, that has not had violent opposition by certain people and within their own minds justification. What you want to do is attain your goals. Step at a time if necessary, but you must attain them. To getting a black man on the council, I seem to remember when two outsiders walked into the 7th district and one of them was elected to office. Now, apparently there was not agreement in the district to the problem as it was suggested. I see no reason at all, no reason at all, why the people in Mr. Hom's district and Mr. Schaefer's district, if they are unified and if they want to go to work on it, that they cannot elect somebody of their choice. Frankly, it's a shame the people that come forward to run for public office. In fact, I almost think it's the first sign of insanity, because we know we can't be right. And if we stay long enough, we can have everybody in town point at us and say, you've made mistakes. So this is true.
Are you saying that the city charter can be changed? That's really what
he's saying. I don't think the city charter has to be changed, number one, because I think you can certainly develop two. Secondly, if you want to change the charter, what you're looking at is a 50% plus vote throughout the city. If you cannot attain your goals within your own district of voting powers that you do have now, and I think it's very real, if you have not got enough coordination and concentrated goal to do this, then I think on a citywide basis, from a practical point, I don't think you would attain it. I think you would again make an attempt. I think you'd be frustrated. I think what you want to do is have something that you can hang your hat on.
In response to what you're saying now, how can you elect a black man out of the 4th or the 8th Consomatic district?
Oh, well, they elected a Chinese man. Now, you might ask me how that happened. I don't know.
He was elected from the district, elected from the city.
Elected from downtown, the white boys.
He elected from the city. See, after the primary is over, they have to come back to the city. The choice is yes, come from the city.
I'll answer this way. You put two black men on the ballot from that district, and you're going to get one. You can't help it.
You can't put them on there with the number of white people in the district.
Well,
get serious. Hell, let somebody else answer.
According to what I'm saying, and I'd like to finish, I don't think I interfered with your conversation when you were talking. I liked what I heard from Judge Lindsay. It made a lot of sense. I don't say I understand the problem. I don't think anybody in this room understands the problem. I think it's a group of small problems. I don't think that the people in this room, any of us, including myself, understand the problems that each other has. The city has some problems. We have some restrictions. We have some charter restrictions. We do not have control over the attitudes of people that we represent from our individual districts. I would like to be able to legislate intelligence, but I don't think that we can ever hope to see that day. However, I think that, again, to identify your problems, and the problems that are created by those problems, and develop the method of solving them, you're not going to solve them all. You're going to create more of them, probably. At least that's been my experience. Every time we solve one, two more show up. But the other thing is this time frame, and I think that's the thing that everyone here is concerned with. I heard these young men say, this summer, no. Somebody else said, we've got to see action right now. These things just don't happen that way, at least in my experience, and I'm looking at any, again, of other major projects that we have, and they're peanuts in comparison to this problem. The time that it took, for example, to sell the transit program or to sell the bond issues, look how many years we went before we sold the bond issues. This is understanding of the public, communication through to them. We cannot do it without their help, and this problem is not going to be able to be solved without understanding. I'm not saying agreement, and I think this is what Mrs. Salk was saying. You may disagree with a program that is set up. You may disagree with it, but is it better to support that program and take a few steps forward, or to sit back and criticize and be well diversified and see nothing happen? What I gather out of this meeting today, frankly, is that we're going to have to set up a program, and it's going to have to be pretty well isolated and defined, recognizing it isn't going to solve all problems at one time. It'll never solve all the problems. But if you can get 50% there in 5 years, the next five, another 50, you're going to get somewhere. Sitting around talking and talking and talking up to a point will do some good, but eventually you're going to have a positive, and I say we are going to have a positive plan, a time frame to implement certain things, and go at this. Now we know, for example, the problems of this type, whether it be crime prevention or what it may be, it all ties in with transportation, education, medicine, the whole group, and they are going to have to be tied together ultimately to solve these problems. It's a monstrous problem. It's a monstrous problem. And to take little isolated sections at one time, and I think the greatest way to kill off opposition that I've ever seen is when the opposition has a good focal point and a goal, dilute it, scramble, spread it all over the lot so that nothing happens. Now, I think that you're going to have to get a focal point. It may not be the right one, but get a focal point and move in that direction until a better direction is found. I think that's about all I have to say.
Harry, I think it's very important that you miss the other meeting. We have agreed here what the problem is. And we're not really talking about transportation, pollution, and all the others. We're really talking about a specific problem, and it's really unfortunate that you have not been here.
I think the point that I'm making, and maybe I spoke too far over it, but these things all tie together. This is a social problem, and these things all cause social problems by isolation, lack of education, all of these things that will allow those who are not getting the same treatment as others, at least give them the opportunity. This is what we're talking about, I think, is opportunity.
No, but we'll
If you continue to visit Dr. Dunham.
I only want to respond to one sentence since my name was mentioned there. Just for clarification, this is not what I meant. What I meant was, if I may just use the same words that we use, that the focal point for us at this point, in view of the complications, in view of the difficulties of attaining goals, in view of all political, and I'm not using that as a bad term now, but all the necessary machinery and so forth, that what we can at least begin to do is, I'm repeating myself, go on the assumption in every decision that's made and every problem that comes up that this is a racist society, and test every decision before it's made as though it were in that framework, because it may very well be. I say only that this is a point of departure or a frame of reference within which everything else should work.
We're going to run out of time here, so let's get Carol, two or three items in front of us so that we can be sure we come out on time. One over here, then one in the back, and we have some stuff we should read here into the minutes before we go. So we should read these into the minutes and get that out of the way in a minute. But first, Ms. Vincent, you are deferring for Mr. McGuire, all right?
One of the things we have to do, don't mind if I walk, at CIC is to interpret. I think a lot of things that have been said here this morning are in the area of interpretation. What we have said, that we recognize the basic facts. Immediately we can't change the system, but we can affect some change right now, immediately, to make the system reasonable and acceptable to all people. I think one thing we've said here today is this. We can't legislate the stoppage of harassment. But I know if the city council were committed and dedicated to stop it, they could tell the police chief to stop it, and it would be up to him to figure out how to do it. And I know that if they wanted to have complete rainbow in color in the city administration building, that same city council could say to the city manager, I want to see it. It's up to you to get it. If they wanted to see Mexican-Americans and black people on the buses, let's say the transit company, I want to see some black people and Mexican-Americans on the bus tours. Get it. And I think all of these different agencies would respond. I think that's the message that's been given. And nothing really would change about the system, because the system was designed to give the council this type of power. Nothing really has changed. And until you begin to recognize just what is your commitment in your office, what do you really do, you know? Are you really committed to do something? Or are you going to fall back and say, well, the system won't allow me? And if this is so, again, I have to say, in my interpretation, the minority community says you're wasting their time. But if you really want to make some commitment within yourself and within your office to the total community, you can do it. And you can work it within the framework of the existing system. That, I think, is your choice. I think that's really what I've been saying today.
Jimmy, one point for the whole country. Harry Truman said that the armed forces would integrate, and they did. And that was it. He said they would integrate, and they did. Now, the armed force, it was up to the generals to figure out how to do it. He said, do it. Now, if you want to do it, and I said this before, you're lying when you say you really want to do it, but you don't understand, you don't know what to do. If you want to do it, you do it.
Mike, and then we have one over here.
All right. The only thing that bothers me is that every time I go down here in the lobby, every 2 weeks that I go by, is that information office that they have down below. It bothers because I don't think the persons that are in the information office are bilingual or what. I would like to see a Mexican-American. Maybe it's a little change, but at least start right there. Who do I put this question to?
I'd like to make a couple of comments. Something like this maybe can be done. I just heard some statements made which I believe are not true, and if they are true, I want to have somebody let me know. Number one, we have a charter
We have a charter, and this council is bound by it. It can't change it. This is a right the people have reserved for themselves, and it's pretty clear cut on the civil service program. It's pretty clear cut. Now, for us to say violate that to the manager or to civil service, we would be breaking the law. Now, for that statement that was just made, that we can go to the city manager and say, we want to have this on there. Now, if there is a way of doing it, then we are going to have to find out, number one, and I've asked this question many times, so I assume the answer is going to be the same, can we violate these civil service rules? We should. Well, frankly, the day we start breaking our laws, if a law is bad, change. And that's a charter change.
Let me answer that specifically, then you move on, Harry.
Well,
you took that up last 2 weeks ago with the mayor. This may be for your clarification. You took it up with the mayor. He said he would immediately, with urgency, appoint a committee or give it consideration to look at what can be done and not violate the law, but make it possible to increase the opportunity. From the Board of Supervisors, under Robert C. Dent's signature, and the article appeared in the paper on the 25th, which was yesterday, he writes us this morning to put into the record what he has done in terms of specifically that point. And if I may interrupt you just a second, if we can lead it into the record after you finish, I think that will take out of the wrong context his remarks.
Mr. Chairman, before you read that, I would like to get a clarification. Does the city charter say that there are to be no black people in these offices? This is what you infer.
No, I did not.
Well, this is what we said.
The city charter says that we have these civil service regulations.
That would exclude Negroes.
I didn't say that, and I don't want you putting words in my mouth.
No, but I don't want you interpreting what someone said to mean what you're saying. The charter doesn't say it. The circumstance is what you were saying. You're saying that if the charter states that the civil service examination, according to what we have viewed here this morning, by no black being in these offices, that you can violate the city charter by saying what Joe said, that somebody say, get some black people in these offices. That the council said. You're saying that they can't do it because the city charter.
I'm saying that there's an examination process that goes through, and when black people get up to the point where they're and the qualifications are established,
then they fall down.
No, I'm not saying that they fall down at all. We do have some people working here. We do.
You got a board with white people that interview. People have passed that exam now and then. Don't come with that. You got a board that interview people that is white people, and when they see there's a black face, I've seen it there.
Maybe there's a place for a change. All right,
it's not a charter change.
Well, I yielded to Mr. Sparrow about 5 minutes ago. Now he's up again. I just want to say something. We had a very good topic brought up about whether we should elect councilmen by district or citywide, and everybody went all over the lot, and we lost our sunset there, and I know one really has spoken to it since. Mr. Hitchfield, very strongly, that we should let councilmen from the district and not citywide. I'm not sure that he's right or wrong. I think there's a lot of merit on both sides. I don't particularly like the idea of having to run citywide. It's very difficult on people from Southeast San Diego to, it costs $10,000 or $12,000 to run a council race, whether you're from District 4, District 8, or La Jolla, or Point Loma. It doesn't matter, because you're reaching the same 675,000 people. And it's quite an imposition on the Southeast San Diego people to try to raise the campaign money in the establishment, because the establishment downtown, they don't mind contributing to Point Loma councilman or La Jolla councilman because they happen to live there, but they don't want to contribute it to the Southeast San Diego councilman because they don't care about Southeast San Diego councilman. And I think there may be a lot of merit. The Board of Supervisors are elected on a district basis. They run only in their district in the primary and only in their district in the general. And the board and the assemblymen do the same thing, and the congressmen do the same thing. And I'm not sure it might not have some merit for the city. We wish that somebody would come forward to this Mayor's Charter Review Commission, which I'm not aware he's appointed it yet. I know there's been a lot of talking about it, but they should make this presentation to them and make a little noise about it so we can fairly evaluate it, because the only way we're going to make any progress is to evaluate these ideas and not bring them up here and then have somebody talking 10 different topics, because I think that's a very important topic.
I had a year ago, Mr. Chairman, and it went out just like it's going out today.
Where should we take it from there?
Carol, I'm asking for information. I don't know where to take it.
Carol, I think that this is kind of a significant point in the process that we're talking about. Now, the mayor has an opportunity, evidently, to appoint a charter review committee. And I think he'd be well advised to get black people on that committee.
That's the message that we've been saying.
That's the message. One of the
well, let's get some Mexican in there, too.
I was about to recognize I had over here 10 minutes ago, and then Judge 10 minutes ago. Let's get two at least. Read the paragraph from the top now and read the essence of this, or the top letter, into the record. Maybe this will do it, or the last paragraph will do it, into the record. This is about the supervisors on this point. We'll write it into the record, then we'll get you, then we'll get the judge. You want to finish your point?
I just want to amplify that. I think another point here in the appointment of people who presumably represent, you know, the minority group, that he consults with the minority groups themselves and let them select the people that they want to be on that review committee.
That was the other message, I think, that was clear and loud this morning. Would you read the last paragraph to whom it is first, and last paragraph?
This is to the Board of Supervisors, County of San Diego, and it's from Robert Dent, Vice Chairman, Board of Supervisors. And while I'm convinced that the intent of our civil service system is to provide equal opportunities for all citizens, I am concerned as to whether this county is doing all it can in this area. Specifically, I am concerned as to, point one, whether our written examination processes could be modified in such a manner as to eliminate any unintentional bias leading to the exclusion of many minority persons. Parentheses, if we find this situation exists, goes on. The last paragraph, I think we all realize that the financial resources of the county are so limited that we cannot create additional jobs to offset minority employment problems. I do, however, believe we can contribute by example to our national concern that there be equal opportunity for all. Therefore, I recommend that our board establish a committee made up of a representation of the board, the Civil Service Commission, the Director of Personnel, and the Chief Administrative Officer to review these matters, leading to a positive action program if such appears indicated. Sincerely yours, Robert C. Dent.
Read that for the record, because I think that is speaking to your point, Harry, specifically. Is there anyone who can give a report on what the mayor has done since the last time, since that went into the record today to review? Is there anyone who can say whether or not he called that meeting, given it a thought, called the chairman of the Civil Service Commission, anything? Pat?
The only one would know would be the
council.
Yes, I'm the chairman of the Civil Service Commission, and we have had two meetings this last week on this problem. One of our problems, and I'm going to lay it right on the table, is not that we don't get black people on the list, but they don't get chosen. And this is not the prerogative of the Civil Service Commission.
There you go.
Beautiful.
That's all we're saying.
All right. I think that...
Second, too. The report from Mr. Wise concerning the recommendation, Mr. Allison, that also a office be considered the same as Robert C. Dent is considering the County Board of Supervisors. Could we get that report from Mr. Julian Wise?
Mr. Wise?
Office to do what? The office to create change? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Same as this letter here that they're doing with the County Board of Supervisors. It was recommended by Mr. Allison at the last meeting and asked for follow-up by your office to establish a similar office within the city to work specifically on eliminating problems, as Mr. Dent put in parentheses, if they exist, within the city of San Diego.
He's asking for a counterpart to this from the city with regard to what she mentioned and the topic of civil service commitment.
We asked for that last meeting from Mr. Wise.
Wade is responding to that question now.
No, she is not.
No, he's asking for something else. Right. He's asking that this came from the vice chairman of the Board of Supervisors as a written document in their for their intent and what they're doing. He's asking that a similar document be presented to this group, if I'm interpreting you right, from the city, which may include her observation.
I'll write such a
letter. Wait a minute. We asked that 2 weeks ago now. We're not asking you this morning. We want to know what the response is of the request that was made 2 weeks ago.
Do you have such a... No, he doesn't have such yet.
You see, then, that's why the dialogue said ain't worth nothing, because if you're not going to do it...
Hold on, I'm sorry. Let's change that into the record.
What?
I'm shaking.
No, I'm shaking my head, yeah. Thanks. We did discuss with the mayor,
mayor said, I am considering it. I am going to meet with Mrs. Waite, who's the president of the Civil Service Commission, about it. Mrs. Waite, the mayor has met, and she's responding. We did not let her finish her response.
Did you leave finished with a awful sharp note?
Yes, you did.
That's kind of a picture of what I guess.
May I ask you here, Mrs. Waite, did you finish?
Yes, I think this, I don't think the system we have is perfect. I think I've been down here 3 days this week talking about ways in which we can improve the civil service testing system, and we've been working on it. But you could have the most perfect system in the world and get people on lists, and if they don't get chosen, what's the use?
Right. All right, let's move on
to that. Mr. Wayne, we have Ms. Wise.
Did you want to add anything about written material from the meetings that
we have gotten together this week material on the tax group? I don't know whether any of you are familiar with that or not. I can't remember what GACT stands for.
I can tell you, but
yeah.
We talked about it this morning.
Yeah, and with the work that they are doing, and we are thinking along the lines of having some of these people come down here and meet with the people in the city with regard to what their findings have been in the way of eliminating cultural bias from tests and doing this kind of thing. To give us some guidance on this. There had been some suggestion made that perhaps the local tax committee could be set up with some people from State College who might give us some help in this. We feel in our department that as long as a lot of groundwork has gone into this other, we might as well take advantage of that and then see where we are and go on from there.
All right, George, the answer is we don't have any written material to pay on this, the counterpart. We'll get it. But
can it be similar with the city?
Yeah.
We're talking about an examination of civil service. We're talking about two different things.
Yeah. No, the same thing you're talking about, I'm saying. We don't have it today.
Okay, can I make a recommendation, Mr. Chairman, that the city, and I'm speaking of the city manager's office in this particular case. I'm not talking about civil service testing procedures. I'm talking about the city manager's office. Take steps to establish an office similar here. If you want to call him a private investigator, do it. A minority person to examine all the problems, as I said, Mr. Dent said, if they exist within the city of San Diego that now exclude minorities from this system in this city. Now, I'm asking that be explored by the city manager's office, Mr. Wise.
All right, that will be in the...
Now, that's not civil service.
Yeah, we have Judge, we're finally getting back around to you.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, he didn't. I'll make it brief because I know you want to see it. The only thing is I was glad in a way that Mr. Scheidel was here and presented, because of all the time we've been here and we've gone over it, and the urgency of the meeting said, in effect, that there is an urgency. This is nothing that, well, we'll take it after we decide to take over the bus department, and after we decide to take over, the city is going to accomplish this item and this item and this item. We said this is an extreme emergency. And then after this, Mr. Shire comes along and says, in effect, I think, this is what I interpret you, business as usual. And this is the perception. Maybe my perception is different because I work in Southeast San Diego, and I'm sure this is one of the things that can happen. And my perceptions do change. And I suppose this is what happens with a white majority that does not work in Southeast San Diego and does not see what's going on. Excuse me. Now, one of the things I would like to ask Carol. And this came up to the meeting, has black power been in differential perceptions? Have you discussed?
But I'll be speaking to 80 people tonight.
The chair brought out a cogent point, and he said that this scares the heebie-jeebies out of white people for some reason, because they don't understand it. And I think we need perhaps a little clarification on this. This might be something we can take in the future. But
you, Mr. Chairman, just as one response, I have no attitude of business as usual. I think it's the prime crisis that we have today, believe me, and I don't think it's going to be over today, and it didn't just happen today. It's been going on. So I just want to...
But you said we'll take it in order.
No, I didn't say that at all. I said solving of the problem have to be identified and take the solutions in order and put a priority on that which is most critical and most important first. Certainly you don't want to solve the little problem first and leave the big one go by the board. Just the opposite of the way you understood me.
This was the big problem.
All right, Judge. The real problem is that I'm sorry, Schaefer has to leave. The real problem is that we have government by sophistry. Government by sophistry. It's clear that the problem is racism. Now, we don't like that term. I seldom use it. And I don't use it because I don't like it. It hurts me when I use it. It hurts me because of what it means I am, you see. But that is the problem. This is a racist society. Just look around at the discussion at the table. Look who has to speak about it. We have Negroes, we have Mexican Americans, we have Orientals, all who are just a little less than white. Whoever made mankind made most of them less than white, and somewhere along the line, let's say God made a mistake and left pigmentation out of some people. I think this is a mistake that he made in the creation of a certain class of mankind. Basically, I think he intended all of them to be unwhite, but he made a mistake, and some of us are white. And the white ones, for some reason or other, because we are a minority, think we're better. And that is what pervades society. And that's what pervades this country. We are a racist society. And we must recognize that first. Having recognized that fact, we can do that. We can recognize that fact. And when we do that, we're about three quarters of the way along the way. When we recognize that fact, now we can't today in this dialogue express a solution to it, an ultimate solution to it. But we can do something that will lead to an ultimate solution, and that is to recognize the fact, and then as city fathers, as those who are in charge of government, and those who were in charge of society say that this is wrong, it shall not be, and that the administration of this city shall not be racist. And the best thing I've heard today came from Mrs. Salt, and that is that we can do something. We can't change our emotions today. We can't change our prejudices today, but we intellectually know what's wrong. We intellectually know what's wrong. And we can decide intellectually that we will do something about it. And the thing we can do is to say that nothing that our government does shall be done without giving consideration to this all-pervading fact. And that the interests of the non-white shall be considered in everything that government does. This is the law. I mean, our city council is operating under the United States Constitution. And the most basic fact in the Constitution of the United States is equal protection of the laws. Equal protection of the laws. Now that gets its expression not only by what we do, but why we don't do. And it's just as wrong it's just as wrong not to do the right thing as it is to do the wrong thing. Now, I think the first step that can be taken is for the city fathers to draft a most simple resolution that says, this city shall not, in its government, tolerate discrimination, racist discrimination. That's right.
That's a simple one-line thing. This city shall not tolerate racist discrimination. It is the policy of the city in everything that it does, from the
mayor to the council and the city manager down to the last person who has any authority for action to act in accordance with that resolution. And then, you know, if those who are functioning, who won't take the civil service list and do with them what ought to be done, know that father means business, the father means what he says, they'll do what father says,
right?
Because father will be finding out whether it's being done.
Right.
And when we talk about swimming pools and this and that and the other thing, we're talking about inconsequential.
Oh, that's true.
It doesn't make any difference whether they have a swimming pool. It does if you put a swimming pool in there for the wrong reason. If you put a swimming pool in to make people satisfied with what they have, it's wrong. If the swimming pool is the natural effect of applying this resolution, then it's good. But don't worry about swimming pools. Don't talk about swimming pools. Don't talk about buses. Don't talk about this, that, or the other thing until you're ready to make the decision that this shall not be, that we shall not have, or let's put it positively, that this city shall be governed under the concept of equal protection of the laws, and therefore there shall not be any decision, any act of administration from top to bottom that is not consistent with that policy. The city council could do that at its next meeting.
That's right.
It could adopt such a resolution at its next meeting. Now, if you think this is a real problem, as you know, I was chairman of the Citizens Committee on Equal Educational Opportunities, and we filed a report in August of 1966. The first thing we said in our first recommendation was that the Board of Education recognize the existence of imbalance in the city schools, recognize that it's wrong, and agree to do something about it. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do that most simple thing. Until they're able to do that most simple thing, they can't do a damn thing about anything else.
Right.
I think we should adjourn that.
No, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adjourn.
I wish we had time on my time, Mr. Chairman.
There are two things we have to read into the minutes. Would you just read to whom these are, and may I preface this by saying the three gentlemen who left, the three sat down there, representing Joe the Negro group, the blacks, French Fries, the Mexican American group, the brown, and Vincent Eloquin representing the Holy Asiatic group, are down now meeting. That's the meeting they had to go to. For the purposes of this meeting, they wanted to leave this so that it becomes part of the record that they are there and to whom these address. You don't have to read the whole content.
Honorable Frank Kern, Mayor of San Diego, etc. And it goes on with the points. This is from BOM, which is an acronym for Black Oriental Mexican Brothers. And it's signed Joe Vincent, Frank Size, Vincent Eloquin. And basically was the idea of rejecting the method of selection of the coordinator for the city of San Diego in 1968 Summer Youth Opportunity Program. Two, BOM rejects the individual selected as part of the method of selection and demands that BOM be consulted before another person is selected. Three, BOM should be consulted on all the operational administrative levels of the program. Mayor Kern, in essence, this is to Hubert H. Humphrey, Vice President of the United States Economic Development Center. This is approximately the same information, and again it is signed by Joe Vincent, Frank Size, Vincent Eloquin from BOM.
Thank you. See you here 2 weeks.
All right. See you.